Donald Trump looked grim as he sat flanked by attorneys in a Manhattan courtroom where the 34-count indictment against him was unsealed. He pleaded not guilty. Afterwards, District Attorney Alvin Bragg said Trump, whom he referred to as the defendant, conspired to illegally influence the 2016 presidential election through a series of hush money payments designed to stifle claims that could be harmful to his candidacy.
Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about.
The indictment contains new details about a scheme that prosecutors say began months into Trump's presidential candidacy in 2015 as his celebrity past collided with his presidential ambitions. It centers on payoffs to two women, including porn star Stormy Daniels, who said they had extramarital affairs with him years earlier, as well as to a Trump Tower doorman who claimed to have a story about a child he alleged the former president fathered out of wedlock. Bragg said Trump had violated New York election law.
New York state election law, which makes it a crime to conspire to promote a candidacy by unlawful means.
Bragg said the crimes were felonies in New York state, no matter who you are. But one of Trump's attorneys, white-collar criminal defense lawyer and former federal prosecutor Todd Blanch, dismissed the charges.
The indictment itself is boilerplate. It doesn't allege any federal crime, any state crime that's been violated. It doesn't allege what the false statement is. And it's really disappointing. It's sad, and we're going to fight it.
Another Trump attorney, Joe Tacopina, responded to the often repeated argument that no one is above the law.
Today's unsealing of this indictment shows that the rule of law died in this country. Because while everyone is not above the law, no one's below it either. And if this man's name was not Donald J. Trump, there is no scenario we'd all be here today. Please understand that based on these charges.
But Bragg said there's nothing unusual about the case and that white-collar crime is the bread and butter of his office's prosecutions.
True and accurate business records are important everywhere, to be sure. They are all the more important in Manhattan, the financial center of the world. That is why we have a history in the Manhattan DA's office of vigorously enforcing white-collar crime. My office, including the talented prosecutors you saw at arraignment earlier today, has charged hundreds of felony falsifying business records.
Prosecutors allege that the first instance of Trump directing hush money payments came in the fall of 2015 when a former doorman at Trump Tower was trying to sell information about an alleged out-of-wedlock child fathered by Trump. David Pecker, Trump's friend and publisher of the National Enquirer, made a $30,000 payment to the doorman to acquire the exclusive rights to the story and then killed it. Pecker's company later determined the doorman's story was false. The investigation also concerns six-figure payments made to Daniels and former Playboy model Karen McDougal. Both say they had sexual encounters with Trump while he was married, but years before he got into politics. Trump denies the allegations. The next court date is 8 months away, December 4th. It's not clear if Trump will be required to appear. That will be less than a year before the 2024 election. John Nichols is a political writer for The Nation magazine. I asked him about the impact of the indictment on Trump's and the country's political future. Since the indictment, Donald Trump has raised, latest count, $8 million and seems to have cowed his potential Republican opponents. How does this indictment change the contours of the presidential race?
I don't think it changes it as dramatically as some people would suggest. I think that Donald Trump has always been the front runner for the Republican nomination. He continues to be the front runner for the Republican nomination. And what this does is make his very passionate base even more passionate. And I think the thing to understand is that having a passionate base and raising money from that base is very significant within a party, but that doesn't necessarily translate to being significant for a November election. And what I would suggest is that the indictment has undoubtedly been beneficial for Trump within the GOP, but the polling data suggests that Democrats and independents think this is an appropriate indictment. And if the numbers remain where they're at, then Republicans might not end up nominating a candidate who can't win in November.
And what about the argument that this just makes the very real divisions in this country even deeper and more dangerous, perhaps?
There is little doubt that the indictment of the former president has made his strongest supporters very, very angry. They're upset by this. They obviously disagree with it. There's also a significant amount of support coming his way from people within the Republican Party, and that's legitimizing that anger. So this becomes a more tense time, perhaps, than it was before. But remember, to some extent, Donald Trump's political model has always been to kind of gin people up and keep people angry. In this case, this is added to that. But I would suggest to you that the divisions go both ways. While his supporters are more passionate, I think that the people who are critical of Trump and have long been critical of him now perhaps feel they have more grounds on which to hold their views. And so are we going to have a big reconciliation in the United States where everybody comes to agree? Nope, that's not going to happen. We are continuing to be deeply divided, and this indictment and perhaps future indictments will, you know, they will maintain those divisions. There's simply no question, because people are going to have very different views about this. But again, if a country starts to say, well, we're not going to hold, you know, former presidents to account because it might divide people, then a country that already has a real problem with accountability is going to have a bigger problem as regards accountability. And I will remind you that France and Italy, countries with which we often compare ourselves in some ways or another, both of them prosecuted former leaders and survived. Certainly there were divisions, certainly there was anger, but they came through it and, you know, ultimately remain as functional as they were before.
John Nichols, political writer for The Nation magazine. I'm Eileen Alfandary for KPFA.